All right, well, we're going to jump right in and get started because we don't have a whole lot of time over this next little bit. Now, next week, I'm starting a message in El Dorado on engagement, because there is a single action that anyone in this room can take that can completely change your entire life. Most people miss out on their life, on what your enjoyment of life, what you do in life, is because most people haven't learned the art of engagement. I want you to know something. This is about Jesus, like that video just said, but I want you to know something. Jesus has got big plans for you today. And by you simply being here, you are saying, I want God to do something. Now, the next few minutes of our time will determine whether you let him, and that will come upon your engagement. Now, I want you to know something. If you're engaged in this service, things in your life are going to change. Two things that make people happy in their life, they have proven this. One, if people are progressing or going forward. Any area of your life that you're progressing and going forward in, you can experience and feel and be happy. Now, it doesn't matter what level of life you're on. You can be living in a cardboard box today out under a bridge and know that you're going forward in a direction to get out of there. As long as you're going forward, things can change. You can be happy. It's people that aren't going forward or aren't growing or aren't enlarging in their life that are not happy. For example, you can take a millionaire that has reached all of their dreams and their potentials and, you know, be satisfied. Money only makes them happy for so long, and that's why you find millionaires unhappy. Alcoholics, drug addicts. So going forward, progressing is one key to being sincere. And, you know, I've learned this and started to realize, well, I've started trying to make some steps of progression in my life. And I've figured out a way to progress physically. I was reading about this new workout plan. How many of you guys would like to progress with your health and physically just a little bit? Let me tell you about the workout plan I've started working on. All right, well, I read about this thing where, you know, you may not join a gym, maybe to... But so at home, you can do this. What you can do in the morning is get up, and before you leave the house, take a five-pound bag of potatoes. Get a five-pound bag of potatoes and hold it out to each side for as long as you can. Most people, when they do that, they usually last a minute, 2 minutes before your arms start burning to the point you put them down. Well, you continue to do that every morning, trying to add 30 seconds to a minute to that for as long as you can. All right, until you reach 1 hour, when you can hold a five-pound bag of potatoes out to each arm for 1 hour, then it's time for you to take the next step. Then get a 10-pound bag of potatoes, and you hold it out. Start there. Go 1 minute, 2 minutes longer, but you will eventually get to where you can do it for up to an hour. When you get an hour, then go to the big step. Do the 25-pound bag of potatoes. Hold it out long as you can, and that's the level I'm to now, if you can't tell. I've got to the 25-pound bag of potatoes. Now, the next step past that is, in the morning, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to put a potato in my bag. And I'm going to start trying to level right there. But as long as you're going forward, you can get a sense of happiness. So if you're not happy where you are physically, change it tomorrow. Start doing something. Make a step forward physically, spiritually, emotionally, all of those things. But the next level that makes people happy is this. You get engaged. You know, there's a lot of husbands that are not happy today being married. And I'm telling you, it's not because you're married to the wrong person. It's because you're not engaged in the relationship. A lot of fathers in here that are, you know, got kids, and you may love your kids, but, you know, they're at times are headaches. It's because you're not engaged. When you completely engage in something, completely give it your focus, your attention, and your energy, the life that you're involved in begins to change. So we're going to start that one, but I want to put this challenge before. Over the next few minutes of your time, it's going to determine how much you get out of this service, is whether or not you're engaged. Because there is a law called the law of familiarity. And a lot of times we come to church and we do things over and over again, and the reason why you're here this morning is two reasons. One, you're visiting and you're checking out because you've heard good things. Or two, you're here this morning because you've experienced good things. And this is your church, and this is where you've been growing, this is where God's got you. But the thing about it is, if you've been doing it for any length of time, it's real easy to get to a point of unengagement. And so you come into the law of familiarity, and so you come in and you go through the motions, and you go out of here the same as you came in. And what happens is, when no matter how good it is, I told the early service, you know, my wife can cook an amazing chocolate cake. And when we first got married, I used to brag on how great this cake is every time I ate it. But after 12 years of marriage, and she's made that cake a lot, I eat it and the compliments aren't there, and I don't get so excited because why? She didn't change her recipe. I've just had a lot. But if I can remember what it was like to have a bad chocolate cake, and then she serves that one up, changes everything. So what I have to do is you got to make a move to be engaged in this service. Over the next few minutes, you can sit there and you can listen and you can hear. And the truth is, statistics say that only 10% of what I'm going to tell you today, you're going to remember in 3 days. But those that will engage, they will let, you know, it's called lean in, or, you know, like example of a guy, I preached on it a couple weeks ago in El Dorado about when Jesus came up to the man with the withered hand, he didn't say here and hand him his miracle. He said, stretch out your arm. There was an action that he had to reach, wanting and desiring it. And when he stretched out his arm, he got what he came for. So I'm going to ask you this morning, in the next few minutes, I'm going to ask you to engage. Stretch out your arm, stretch out your heart, stretch out your attention span, because I believe this, God has got something amazing for you today. I don't believe God would waste a second of your time, because you only have a certain amount of it. He put you here with a certain number of days. David said, Lord, teach me to number my days, because you only get a few of them. Brother Johnny, you get more than most. How amazing, 92 years old, but you only get a few of them. Bible promises 70. Anything above 70 is a blessing from God, is a gift. And so if you've only got that many, God does not want to waste a single one of them. And the truth of the matter is this, he's here today. He's in this room. His presence is here. And Jesus never shows up anywhere unless he's willing to do something in your life. Now, do people miss out on what God has for them? All the time. I've missed out on so many opportunities. And the thing about it is, God doesn't want to waste the next few minutes of your time this morning. If you'll engage, if you'll make the decision around to put your attention up here, shake off the way you feel, position yourself to be able to receive. I'm telling you, you will not go out of here disappointed. Are we ready? All right, we're going to go real quick to John chapter 2, verse 1. We don't have a whole lot of time, so we're going to go quickly over a few points. Now, I don't know if you watched the Victory TV program, but a couple weeks ago, I had preached a message on hungry. How many of you guys saw the show Hungry? Well, this is, if you hadn't seen it, if you want the first part of this message, you got to go back to the website or get back on the YouTube channel and watch the first part, because this is part two of Hungry. And I'm going to start here in this area. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to concern with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, there were a set of 6 water pots of stones, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it had come, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, if you're an underliner, you can underline water right there. That's probably one of the most important scripture points we're going to come into today. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine till now. This beginning the signs of Jesus did in Canaan of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, another translation of that ending part, the last verse there says, and this began the miraculous signs of Jesus' glory. How many of you guys are ready to God do some miraculous signs in your life this morning? 3 days ago, I was dropping my girls off at school, and it was one of those days that I look back and my girls will probably think of one of the most embarrassing days their daddy has ever put them through in life, but it necessarily wasn't all my fault. I blame it on Jennifer because I was driving Jennifer's car. We were dropping our girls off the school. We drop them off at the car. Parents line up. They get in line, and then, you know, like 10 cars move up, drop their kids off, those go. Then the next group pulls up, drops off, and go. And so the line of traffic stacks up way down the road. Well, I got up that morning. It was pouring rain. I said, Jen, I'm going to go with you to drop the girls off. So I got in the car. We were driving. And when we started driving, I noticed her light out of gas was on. Now, I don't know about you, but there are two kinds of people in here. There are people that fill up when your car is on half tank, and then there are some that have to have faith every time they get to the gas station. This was Jennifer's car, all right? And so we were getting in line. We were driving there, and I saw the light on. I didn't notice when we left the house. And I said, Jen, how long has this been on? She says, I don't know. So she's in her car. She's got one of them buttons that you can hit, and it'll tell you how many miles till zero. And I hit it, and it says zero. And it takes about 20 minutes when you get in line to drop all the kids off. And we were in about the third section back. Now, my first response is probably the same response most of you guys have when you get in that spot. I say, turn the air conditioner off. All right, get the air off. Turn the radio off. We got to get this because we'll get gas when we get there. All right, we move up just a little bit further. We move up to the next section. Now, we're in the next section before you get to where you drop the kids off. And the car said, and died. Now, Jennifer's car is one of those cars you don't get two chances. If it dies, you're done. And so now it's pouring rain, and I live in a house full of girls. I turned the early service. I have three daughters. I have a wife. So that, you would think, would be enough girls. But I have girl dogs. I have girl cats. And I was telling the early service, I know my Fisher girls because when I lay my wallet down by the fish tank, they all shoot right over to that side. So I'm the only guy living in our house. And one thing I've learned at our church, at my house, is this. Hair is very important to girls. And so with the idea of hair very important, it was pouring rain. I said, all right, Jen, let's grab the umbrella. And you know, y'all going to run the girls on up there, and I'll get this worked out. Well, we start digging through the car, no umbrella. And so Jennifer and the girls, they're not getting out of the car in the rain. I don't know if you've got a lot of girls in your house and got girls with curly hair, they don't get in the rain because they spend all that hour straightening it. So there, I was like, all right, Jen, listen, there's a gas station about a half mile, maybe a mile and a half up. I'm going to get out and walk. And when I go up, I'll bring the gas back. Girls can be late, no worries. So I get out. Right when I get out, here come the blue lights. Whoop, 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 falling. And I'm like, great. You know, I don't know. I thought he was going to be mad. I was blocking on. He walked up. He said, what's the problem? I said, we've run out of gas. Embarrassed already. I don't know. The minute the car died, I was mad. How many guys are that way? The minute the car died, I mean, I was already mad at Jen. I'm saying it politely now, but when it died, Jen, how could you do this? Now, you knew you were all day yesterday. You could, but so I was already angry. I was already upset, already frustrated. And the blue lights come on. Now, like I told you, every parent in that school on a rainy day lines up in that line to drop their kids off. So there I am with the cop car with his lights on and him walking up to me. Now, at that point, you think, all right, they're just thinking that what's going on here is that maybe my car broke down. Not so bad. So the cop was real cool. He said, hey, I'll give you, when I told him, he said, I'll give you a ride up to the gas station. I said, great, that would be so awesome. And so he said, but before I let anybody in my car, I have to patch you down. And so at that point, it's pouring rain. He's got the stuff on. I don't. I have to put my arms up on the car like this. And he starts patting me all the way down, run up, down. So I know at this point, every parent in that school, my girls go with, and Jennifer works with the PTO thing there. Now they think that their dad is a crook. All right. And then it goes a step further. He pats me down. I get through that. I have said, girls, I'll be right back. I walk over to his car. I go to get in the front seat. And he said, oh, no. I never let anybody ride in the front seat. So in his SUV, he opens up the door, puts me in the back seat, shut the door. And you would think he got me in the car. He turned the lights off. He didn't. We left that line with the lights on all the way out of sight. All right, so I get my gas. He brings me back. When I get back to the gas station, it's already to the point. All the parents are already gone. There was no more cars left. So I know I left there that day with every parent in that school thinking that them girls have a criminal as a daddy. All right? But when I get to the girls are all crouched down in the floor, even though there were no more cars, and I'm completely embarrassed of what they blame me for doing. But it was not my car. My car was sitting back at the house full of gas. So again, I blame it on Jennifer, but I bring it up to this point. The misery, the frustration, the embarrassment, the issues running out can cause. The story we just read there in the Bible said this. They were at a party. The party was amazing. Everything was going great. As a matter of fact, it was a high-class party. Jesus and his mom had been invited, so things were really kicking. And right in the middle of this party, they ran out. I don't know about you, but most of my life, it seems like when I look back at times, I felt like I was living life run out or on empty. Now I want to take you real quick to a scripture in Matthew chapter 6, or chapter 5, verse 6. One of the most important messages Jesus ever taught is this one right here. Theologians believe is the most powerful message he taught. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 6, he makes a point. And this is where we pick up on from the part 2 of hungry. The Bible says this, blessed. Do you know what blessed means? Blessed means lacking no good thing. You never find a car out of gas that's blessed. Never find a bank account empty, blessed. Anything that is lacking, deficient, or empty is not blessed. But the Bible says this, blessed are those that hunger, number one, and number two, thirst. It says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because then the next thing it says is, they shall be filled. One translation says, fulfilled. If you take that fulfilled part and you break it into two words, filled completely full. God's plan for your life is to be completely full. If you go to John 10:10 real quick, we're going to throw a couple scriptures at you real fast, and then we'll get started in today. John 10:10 says this, that the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. What you need to understand, that the devil gets up every day trying, doing, and in most cases, he's winning, taking from your life. He gets up every day taking things out, taking things from, taking things away, and trying to destroy. That's what the Bible says. The devil comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. So every day that you get up out of bed, and even at times while you're sleeping, because, or even at nighttime when you're trying to get sleep, trying to steal your sleep, trying to steal your peace, he's constantly at a place where he is taking from you. And the truth of the matter is, if you've got a container that is full of something and somebody takes out of it constantly, eventually that container is going to be empty. So you've got to know that just getting up every day, just taking a breath and breathing every day, we are in a process of losing or being subtracted from. Even if you're winning, even if you are putting up such a good fight, Paul said, I fought the good fight, putting up such a good fight, fighting the enemy off and keeping him at bay, you are still running out. Just like my car. Every mile, every foot, every inch it cranks and runs, the tank and the level of gas that is in it begins to deplete with every inch. Every step you take in your life, something is being used. And once it's used, you lose it. And so, here in the Bible says that this party was going. I want to go back to Matthew 5, 6. It says that every day the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So just you sitting in here, you're expending energy, you're expending attention. You are losing or you are dropping in levels of something. Now, but the Bible goes on in that scripture to say this. In John 10:10 says, the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. It says, but I have come that you may have life. In other words, every time the devil's taken, God's coming and giving. Every time the devil takes, God is coming and he's giving. But what it is we think that as sometimes that if we can just keep even, we're doing pretty good. But that's not where the scripture ends. Scripture says, and coming so that you can have life more abundantly. In other words, God has more to give you than the enemy can take. And so his plan and his will for you is to not go through life empty. His plan and his will for you is for you to go through life, like he said in Matthew 5, he says, for you to go through life completely full. And he says, if you do it his way, he will leave you completely full. The truth of the matter is most of us go through our life having these great emptinesses inside of us. And I don't know about you, but I'm like these guys in this story that was at this party a lot of times. First of all, let me say this. If you're here this morning and your life is empty, the first step you take is you need to invite Jesus to the party. Because thing about it is, if Jesus is not at the party, your life will always be empty. But I want you to know something too. When Jesus is at the party, you can still get to a place and be empty. Jesus was at the party, and they were in. Now, I don't know about you. I've been in church for a long time, and I don't look my age, I hope. You can agree with me, make me feel good, but I've gotten on up in years. And somebody told me the other day, I was holding my little girl. I got an 8-month-old baby. I said, how do you look young? I said, I keep a baby all the time. Because if you got a baby, they think you're younger than you are. Because there's no way nobody my age would have had one this young. Because I'll be 60 when this one graduates high school. But I, most of my life looking back in relationships, in finances, in jobs, in church, in spirit, I got to be honest with you. There were times that I look back and mostly I look back at being empty. And I know this, there's a lot of people in here this morning that you got up and you got dressed, you put on the best face you could put on, but you still came here and you are still carrying on the inside of you great emptiness in great areas. And the problem with it is this, you're told that Christians don't ever get empty or have to be empty. I want you to know something, that's not true. Christians get empty. Christians can run their entire life on empty. You know, there are telltale signs about empty. But we'll get into those in just a second. The Bible says, it says, blessed are those. In other words, you're lacking no good thing. You will not be empty. You will be completely full if you will stay two things, hungry and you'll stay thirsty. Now, there's a difference between hunger and thirst. Hunger, you know, a person can go like 40 days without eating. You can go through hunger for a long period of time. I said this in the early service. It always shocks me when people leave a church because usually when they leave a church, this is what they usually say. Well, I just wasn't being fed. How many guys ever heard that? Now let's go another step of engagement. How many of you guys have thought that? All right. Let me let you know something about hunger. You can go a long time without hunger. You can go up to 40 days without hunger, but let me let you know something. It's not the church's job to feed you. It's not the church's job to feed you. How many of you guys have ate a breakfast, lunch, or dinner since the last time you were in this church? All right. So that tells me this. You know how to eat on your own. This morning, I got up, and I put my 8-month-old baby in a high chair, and I fed her. Because my 8-month-old baby can't feed herself. She don't know how to put the formula in the bottle and shake it up. But if you were able to get up, put your own clothes on, put your own shoes on, bathe yourself, put your and drive here, or come here, or ride here, and talk here, you're old enough to feed yourself. And you're not leaving churches because you're not being fed. Because people can go a long time without being fed. And the thing about it is, we don't feed a dog. I got an 8-year-old daughter, and I don't get her up in the morning and put her in a high chair and get the baby food out and go to bed. If I were, she would be griping and screaming and kicking, saying, get off me, Dad, the best she could, because she knows she is old enough to feed herself. And so if you are starving in here today, it's not the church's fault. You need to know that about hunger. What you need is you need to get an appetite for the right things. And so you need to go back. It's on the website. It's on the channel. Read about it. We're not going to. But the two-factor life is everyone to be filled must be, number one, hungry. And if you don't have an appetite, that means there's something wrong. First thing a doctor asks, do you have an appetite? If you don't have an appetite, there's something wrong. Number two, though, is you have to be thirsty. If you're going to be full, if you want a life of fulfillment, you have to be hungry. Number two, you have to be thirsty. But see, people don't leave churches because they're not being fed, although that's what we say. You know, another misconception people say is this, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. How many guys heard that? You know, they're completely right. It is full of hypocrites, but that's not why they're not coming. The church is supposed to be full of hypocrites. That'd be like somebody getting cancer and saying, I'm not going to the hospital. That thing's full of sick people. You know what I'm saying? This house, I promise you, everybody in here is a hypocrite in some area in their life. And this is where you need to be. Because you will not get healed unless you're in a place of healing. I'll tell you there. And so if you hear somebody say, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites, then why do they go to work? Why do they go to Walmart? Why do they get on dating sites online? I mean, that's the biggest hypocritical place you've ever been. Why do they go to anywhere? Because everywhere you go is full of. So you got to really look at what people are saying. When people say, I don't go to that church anymore because I'm not being fed, you need to understand that's not what they're saying. They're saying, I don't go to that church anymore because I'm thirsty. Now, I want to draw up some points out of this scripture real quick that brings out. Here we are at a party. Everything's going well. Jesus is at the party. That means things are going in the right direction. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that Jesus looked at everybody and said, the pots got empty. They ran out of wine. And they looked at Jesus and said, Jesus' mother said, we're out of wine. And he looked at her and said, why are you bringing this issue to me? This don't concern me. Now, that's real hard, isn't it? That doesn't sound like the Jesus I know that says, you know, bring to me all the weary and heavy burden. That's weird, isn't it? That he would say, hey, y'all have got a major issue going on here. This is a big enough issue. It's about to stop the party. The party is over if we don't correct this issue. And you bring it to Jesus. He says, you know, hey, this isn't my issue. And for a long time, that story used to bother me because I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of things in my life that I've brought to Jesus. I'm like, God, look at what I've got going on. Where are you at? Can you help me? Jesus, I need you. And I felt like he looked at me and said, what are you bothering me with this stuff for? This don't concern me. How many guys honestly have felt that way? You felt like, you know, you brought things to Jesus. And you got a cold shoulder, like the statement here at the initial first part feels like. Don't you see? It feels like he's saying, you know, this is not important to me. What you're going through, your lack, your issues, I want you to know something. It was important to Jesus. And we'll show you that in just a minute. You know, a lot of people, though, don't recognize when their pots are empty. The first thing that you need to look at is when they came to Jesus with this issue, they said this. They said, they came to him and they said, hey, Jesus, my pots were empty. Before they could do that, they had to recognize that wherever the wine was stored, because it didn't say it was stored in those pots. They had the pots, the wine, somewhere else. It just said that he was going to use those pots when you read the story. All right, but it says that you first thing to recognize is the levels in that were going out. Somebody was monitoring, somebody's watching and realized it. And then he recognized after wherever the wine was stored was depleted, then he recognized everybody else's cup that they were carrying around was empty too. You must monitor your levels. Because if you don't monitor your levels, dehydration occurs. Now, dehydration is a very, very serious issue. Life or death, if you're into survival shows or anything, you know, the first thing people need to go after to continue to survive, not thrive, just to survive, is they have to get to a place where water is a source that they can continually go back to. Dehydration is there. Now, let me tell you what dehydration, the definition for dehydration is to put out more than you are taking in. How many of you guys feel like you put out more than you take in a lot of times? Tell you, I've started monitoring back in my days because you need to, somebody was watching the pots. Somebody's watching. You need to look. Are you putting out more than you're taking back in? Because if you're putting out more than you're taking in, then it's inevitable. You're going to come to a place where you're empty. And if people don't know how to respond when they're empty, then what happens is the party's over. The relationship will crash. Your place in the church, well, you will walk away from the church. You'll quit the job thinking it's that fault. When in all reality, there was nothing wrong with what was going on at the party. Where the problem was where the fluids were kept. Now, they looked at it and they saw it. Now, you need to see there are certain signs that come with dehydration. When you're putting out more, the first thing that happens when you start getting dehydrated, scientifically they say you get bad breath. Ever been sitting by somebody with bad breath? We usually give them a mint. What you tell them? You need to go get a drink. You ever been told you need? You ever been asked you want a drink? Maybe that's a telltale sign you got bad breath. I don't know. The first sign, scientific thing to happen when somebody begins to get dehydrated is they get bad breath. Now, you can see this in the scripture when the children of Israel got out into the wilderness, and the Bible says they ran out of water. The first thing that happened was it affected their mouth. Bible says they started speaking and complaining. I want you to know something. One of the telltale signs of you being dehydrated is what's coming out of your mouth. If you've got complaints and you've got issues and, you know, it's like more negativity is felt on the inside. See, all of that comes from a feeling on the inside of you. And that feeling on the inside of you is not there's an issue on the outside. It's an issue on the inside. You're dehydrated. But when you're dehydrated, it comes out as bad breath. It's coming out of you, but it's about everything else, affecting everything else around you. I want you to know something. This morning, if you're in here, it's okay that if you came in here empty and depleted, because in just a little while, you're going to get an opportunity to get full to the brim, is what it said. Full to the max. And so there are solutions to dehydration. But think about it. You first need to be able to monitor the level of the pots. And are you here this morning and you're dehydrated? Is there an area in your life? One way you can tell is this. Is everything a frustration? Is everything you're doing taking everything you got? Is everything a battle? Is every relationship you're in conflict? Is every situation, it's everything you have in you to get up every day and do what you're doing? You're dehydrated. Your pots have gotten empty. Second sign of dehydration is a headache. Are you so consumed with stress that it doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're at or how much fun everybody else is having around you, you can't even lay your head on the pillow at night and go to sleep in peace because there's so much stress, so many things affecting your head? Then it's a sign that you're dehydrating. Another sign of dehydration. Let me get about paid. Fatigue. Everything's a chore. You love those kids, but man, it's a chore. You love your job, but man, there was a day when you didn't have that job and you remember standing in front of a church and having people pray with you about getting that job, and now that you got that job, you hate getting up and going to it. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with the job. You're fatigued. You're dehydrated. The marriage. Tell you, you married, you liked it, so you put a ring on it. But today you may not like it anymore because you're tired, you're exhausted, it's a chore, everything's work, you're dehydrated. It's not an issue with circumstances. The pots have gone dry. One of the main signs of dehydration is when a person is dehydrated, they quit producing tears. Your body no longer has the ability to produce tears because it's sending the fluids in other places in your body to be able to meet the needs that it needs. How many of us have been there? I don't know how about you, but how many times you come into a service, man, you'll be sitting right beside somebody, and the Spirit of God will move in that service, and you'll just see the Holy Spirit touch them and move them, and goosebumps will run up their arms, and tears will run down their face. Ryan, nobody's even said that. We're just in a praise song. But you're sitting there dry as you can be. But you know something? You're dehydrated. You're dehydrated. God never intended for you to go through life on empty. Cars were never invented to be able with the ability to drive a mile without fuel. When you're dehydrated, it affects everyone and everything in your life. Usually a sign of dehydration is you get real brittle. You get real brittle. You take a pot that my little girls have a chia pet and it's got a hole right in the middle of it. You're supposed to fill it up with water. And you can always tell when it's water because the color of it will be dark. But when it gets dry, if you bump it wrong, it'll shatter. I know because I busted one of my girls. And so I got chewed out about it. Busted her because I bumped it with something. When you get dry, you're brittle. It's every time everybody says something to you, about you, or around you, and it just breaks you down. You can't, you're just real brittle. Every time somebody touches you or bumps you wrong, it cracks you up. And you know what I'm saying? You're just at everybody and with her, you're dry. You're dehydrated. When you don't give a plant water long enough, they quit producing fruit. Are you fruitless? Then you're dehydrated. And that's not an uncommon thing because in this story, the Bible says Jesus was at the party and their supplies went dry. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living my life and even having to fake it at points in my life. When it even comes to spiritual things of just going through the motions and being dry. And they're not being, do you know what the Bible calls water? It calls it living water. Now, I don't know why you're dry. In Psalms, the Bible says this. In Psalms 42, it says, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth for you. Now, the real, whatever, that's one translation. One translation says this. As the deer panteth for the brooks of water. Another translation takes that word brooks because what makes a brook is moving water. It says, as the deer panteth for living water, moving water. So my soul longs for you. Why? Now let's first take a picture of the deer. But you need to understand what makes deer thirsty. Well, you may be here this morning and you're thirsty because you're like the deer that's been wounded. If you're a deer hunter, I've shared this before. If you're a deer hunter and you hunt and you hunt like me, and when you pull the trigger, you may not hit the deer right where you wanted to hit the deer, and you end up wounding him a little bit longer than he should have been wounded, and he runs off and doesn't follow where he does. You begin to follow a blood trail, and as you're following that blood trail, you know, you're going and you're getting closer and closer and closer. My grandpa always used to teach me, if you wound a deer and you're around any body of water, that deer will begin to move toward that body of water. Because when he starts putting out, this great urge inside of him is to put back in. You may be here this morning and you've been wounded. And the wound that has taken place in your life is so big that it doesn't matter. It seems like how much gets poured in is flowing right out. What you don't need is another drink of what you've always been drinking. You need a drink of what this deer right here says. So he needed a drink of living water. I know relationships can destroy you. I know great disappointments can leave you wounded in ways that you can't even imagine. But I also know this. There is hope for the hopeless. There's not ordinary water available to us. There's brooks, streams of living water, that it doesn't matter how big the wounds are, the water can fill. You may be here this morning, and there's a deer in Africa that has this weird pointed nose. It's funny, the nostrils come up and they point weird. And the reason why he has that is it's a protecting sense. In other words, when a predator or a big cat gets chasing this deer, the deer, God designed him and built him in a specific way to where if he can get to the water and submerge himself in the water, and he's built to where his nose can stick up and those nostrils stick out that water, he can completely be submerged, completely be protected, and still be able to survive, and the cat and the predator can't. You may be here this morning and you're so thirsty because there's been so much after you. The enemy has been playing plots and plans and traps and snares, and everywhere you go is a battle. Everywhere you turn is a fight, and you're empty. I want you to know something. There's hope for you. Because as the deer panted for the water, so my soul longs for you. God has put it in you, a desire to run to what it takes to save you. Another reason why deer run for water is because, just like my car, it only goes an inch if there's something in the tank. And depending on how much I have in the tank determines how far I go. Maybe you've been going so far and so long on your own strength and doing everything you can. You've gotten so far down this road that you're just out. Life alone will dehydrate you. The getting up and going to bed. Every day you're resisting the devil. Every day you're pushing the devil away. Every day you get up and you serve the Lord. A little bit of your levels go down. But as the deer panted for the water, you may be just living. And living right. I want you to know something. You can be living right and still be dehydrated. So what do you do? I want to bring it back to the story we were at the beginning. When Jesus got to that party and they said, hey, we're out of wine. And he said, this is not my concern. He didn't say it because he was rude or mean. What he said was, really, you're not going to need me on this one. Because I've already supplied what it is you need. You say, well, Cricket, what are you talking about? Let me show you. Did Jesus ever lay his hands on the pot? Did Jesus ever, like he did in other miracles, that people came needing miracles and maybe their eye, did he spit in dirt and drop it down in the pot? Did he do anything to the pot? He did not even touch them. So when he says, this is not concerning me, what he was really saying was, you know what? You don't need me on this one, although I am the source. There is water available to you, but the problem is most of the time when we're thirsty, like at this party, we don't recognize what it is we need. We only recognize what it is we want. What did they say they were out of? Wine. What did Jesus tell them to put in? Water. Don't make any sense. They were focusing on things that they thought they needed when really they didn't need the wine. They wanted the wine. A lot of us have issues and problems. We go through life empty because we don't recognize what it is we need. We only can see and focus on what it is we want. And as long as you're focusing in on what it is you want, the Bible doesn't say I will supply all your wants according to my riches. God says, I will supply all your needs. I'm here to tell you, whatever it is that's been putting life in your life for the last, if it's been anything but Jesus, it's just a want. And wants will only last you for so long. Because did they have to come to Jesus to get the water? No. Where'd they get the water? I don't know. They already had it. It was already available and at their disposal. Because it didn't say Jesus went and dug a well that they dipped the water out of. It says they put water in the pots. I'm here to tell you, what you need is available to you today. What you need, God has already done for you. It's already within your grasp. It's already within your reach. What you need to be full, all you got to do is be thirsty. Now, this is what it said here. It said, he said, take water and put it in these pots. Now, these pots are very important. So there were six pots there, and those pots there were there for the purification of the Jews. They didn't say this is where the wine was stored. They said there was these pots there. There were six of them. Now, you know, it's something very interesting. It said it even goes into talking about the size of these pots. It says they could hold 20 to 30 gallons. You know, the average human, American man is about 200 pounds. You know, we're 65% water. When you get below 65% water, you're dehydrated. You know how much water weighs a gallon? 8 pounds a gallon. So 20 times 8 is what? Somebody with math, help me figure this out. Is what? 160. And what's 30? How many of you guys? No, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands if you weigh between that and that. See, a lot of times we think we're the ones at the party. I want you to know something. You're the pot. You're the pot. You're the pot. And why at the beginning of the party were you not lacking? Do you know a baby is like up to 85% water? God gives grace to new Christians. God gives grace to when you first came to it. When you first came to the Lord, man, everything was great. Because everything had changed. I want you to know something. If you've gotten to a place now where you're empty, it's nothing wrong with God and the source. The problem is you have grown up, and it's time now for you to recognize the what you have available to you. This is what he said. He said, woman, this is not my time. What he said was, you don't need me right now. What you got is available to you. You know, there was a time in Jesus' life where he said, I thirst. When he was doing the most important thing that he had ever done, he looked up to heaven, the Bible says, he said, I thirst. If Jesus gets thirsty, don't you think you get thirsty? When you go through hard circumstances and hard situations, what is that longing or that needing or that emptiness? I'm telling you, it's normal. The reason why it's normal, because unless you are thirsty, you can never be full. But what it's going to take to fill you is not what you want or what you think. It's what God has available to you. This is what the Bible says. Jesus said that, number one, the first way they got fulfilled in this circle, in this thing, was this. The Bible said this. The Bible said, Mary said, do what he said. Most of us stay empty in our lives because we're not willing to do what God's already told you to do. You know what God's told you to do. I don't know where you're sitting, what you're doing, what you came here. And every one of us, God has been speaking to you for as long back as you can remember. And there are things that you've been holding back from God. I don't know if the Lord's been telling you to get up early in the morning and seek him. I don't know if the Lord's been telling you, you know, to be able to join and get involved in a choir. I don't know if the Lord's been telling you to call that person and tell them you forgive them, even if they've not asked for forgiveness. I don't know whether, but every single person in here knows the Lord has been edging you and telling you to do something. And I want you to know something. First step to getting your life fulfilled is get obedient. A lot of our bank accounts stay empty because we will not get obedient. A lot of our relationships are depleted and deadly because we will not get obedient. We got to be right. I was mad at Jennifer the other day. I told the early service, boy, she'd made me so mad. And I was 100% right. 100% right. And I was mad. Again, when that car ran out of gas, first thing that hit me was mad. Your emotions will usually let you know where you're deficient at. Look at them. They're not a curse. God gave them to you for a reason. They're red flags. If you've been upset, frustrated, angry, mad, disappointed, something, that's where you need to hear what God has told you in that area. And I was mad at Jen. And I was over complaining to God about Jen. God, why in the world would you let her there? And the Lord told me, you need to go say you're sorry. I said, but she's wrong. I still hadn't gotten to the place where I was. She was right. Yeah, she was right. By the end of it, she was right. But I had to go over there and I apologized angry. You ever had to do that? That's hard to do. Because you want to leave a little spin on it where they still know you're angry too. I said, Jen, I'm sorry. And the minute I did, something began to change on the inside. I mean, there's people in here this morning that you know God's been telling you to do something. God's been telling you and leading you in a way. And it's scary and it's hard. It may go against the way you feel. You may not want. But I want you to know something. The first step to living a full life is doing what God's told you to do. There may be somebody in here this morning right now that needs to give your heart to the Lord. God's been telling you for a long time. He wants to change you. He wants to make you. He wants to change everything about you. And you've been resisting that thing. You've been holding out. I want you to know something. You're never going to get a full life until you do what God has already told you to do. But he said, do what he said. First step in getting full is just do what God's told you to do. It's not complicated. Just do what, you know, a lot of you could go, a lot of us go through life unfulfilled because we can't even do the simple things that God's told us to do. Bible says, don't forsake the gathering together of the brethren, but come together encouraging one another. That's what the Bible says. I want you to know something. A lot of the reasons why a lot of us aren't full in life is we can't even go to church when we're supposed to go to church. If God said it, get obedient. It opens the door for you to be full. Then the next thing the Bible said is this. He said, fill the pots full of water. Your problem is you just need to add water. I don't know about you, but I look for those recipes in the grocery store when I'm shopping that don't have a whole list of things I've got to put in. I look for the ones that say, just add water. I like it as simple as I can get it. As a matter of fact, when I'm buying muffins, me and the girls go to my, there's some that say, add milk, and there's some that say, add water. And I grab the ones that say, add water, because I don't know if my milk at the house is sour. So I like it as simple as it can possibly be. God has made it as simple as it can possibly be. The solution for you this morning is you don't need a new husband. You don't need a new job. You don't need a new church. You don't need a new whatever it is you need. You need to just add water. Let me go another level with you. Smart people know this. I can show it to you in the scripture. In Ephesians 5:17, it says this, therefore, do not be unwise. Now, what's that saying? You can either be smart or dumb, correct? Do not be unwise. There's an option here. I can either be smart. It says, do not be unwise, but understand. In other words, get an understanding, get a revelation, realize this, what the will of the Lord is. And it says, and do not be drunk with wine. And which is dissipation, whatever you say that word, abomination. It says, but what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, wise people understand this. They know that God has exactly what it is they need. That emptiness, that feeling, that area of your life that you're so frustrated and you're so thirsty and you're longing for something to change or be different. Wise people know that they're empty. And if I'm empty, I need to be thirsty. And if I'll get thirsty, what God will do, the Bible says, He will fill me. How will He fill me? He has given me the Holy Spirit. Jesus even said this, hey, it is better for me not to be here and me leave the Holy Spirit than for me to stay here with you. That kind of goes back to that story we're reading where it says, why are you bothering me with this? I can't help you because I've already given you the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know where your theological doctrine is on the Holy Spirit. I'm not teaching it, but I can tell you this, every denomination that believes in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God will agree with this. You need to be as full of the Holy Spirit as you can possibly be. And if you're not as full of the Holy Spirit as you can possibly be, I'm telling you, that's why your life is not fulfilled. You've got to get to a place where you're full of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Cricket, that's easy to say. How do I do that? How do I do that? Let's get back in the story first. We'll come back to the how in a minute. He said, go fill it full of water and fill it to the brim. See, God's way of doing it is so amazing. Because when the Holy Spirit comes inside you and fills you, it quenches that thirst. Now, let me tell you this. A lot of us get hung up on this. Well, I've gotten saved, so I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I'm still living. It's not where you're... Well, because he told the woman at the well, if you get a drink of this, you'll never be thirsty again. That's not what he said. The Bible said this. It was so important to Jesus that he was on his way to a place, said, I must go to Samaria. He went out of his way and got there early to meet a lady that was coming with a pot to a well every day to get a drink to try to meet her thirst. I want you to know something. If you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of something. And I've been accused of being full of a lot of things in my life. I'm waiting till the day that people can see how full of the Holy Spirit I want to be. Because when I get as full of the Holy Spirit, everything else is going to be gone. But she was going to this well every day, having to get a drink. And in her life, in every area, she was drinking out of every fountain or every well she could get her hands on because she did not realize where the source came from. And she said, if you just knew it was me, you would ask me for a drink. Did he say, I'd put my hands on you? No, no. No, he said, I will give you a drink. And he says, and you will never thirst again. What does that mean? If that were so, then how could Jesus hang on the cross and say, I'm thirsty? What he was saying there is this. When you recognize where you come to get a drink, you will always have an endless source of drink, and you will never have to put yourself in a place to try to find another drink. I will be enough. You may have to come back to him every day. You may have to come back to him every... As a matter of fact, I'm a firm believer in Wednesday night services because I don't know what kind of world you live in, but your environment determines how dehydrated you get in. And I, in my life, live in a lot of places where my environment is hard, and tough. And I can't go some weeks without going to a Wednesday night service because I need a drink in the middle of the week. I can't wait till the weekend sometimes because I'm thirsty in areas. And this is what he said. You say, well, Cricket, that's not what it said. Let me ask you this. Five scriptures later, where'd the lady go? It says, after they talked, she got up and walked away. Five scriptures later, it says, but she came back to him. In other words, when she was out living her life with her family, hanging out, and as a matter of fact, she left with so much, she was splashing out all over them, and she brought them all back to get another drink. I'm telling you this morning, there's nothing wrong with what's going on outside. It's only wrong with what's going on inside. You're thirsty. You're thirsty. You're dehydrated. I got to close with this. How do I get filled? How do I get a drink? Next time I'm here, I will. There's a message we just preached a couple weeks ago in Eldorado that goes into great detail on how to take a drink right now and leave taking a drink. We'll preach that next time I'm here, but I want to go over a couple real quick options. Real things you can do right now. Okay? One, how do you get a drink? Well, you got to go to where the water is. You got to go to where the water is. You may not think church is important. You may not think in his presence is important. I want you to know something. You got to get where Jesus has already made it available to you. And I'm going to tell you this. It don't matter who's preaching. Because you didn't come for the preacher. Because if you did, I jumped over a whole bunch. Talk about the pots. The pots. The pots that he said fill up with water. Check out the pots he said fill up with water. That's what he said. He said, go get the six pots that's used for the purification church. You know what that was? Or the Jews? That was a religious experience. A religious experience. I want you to know something. Religion never quenches a thirst. It just frustrates you more. You can never be good enough, do far enough. And so if you're here this morning out of religious tradition or you're here out of a religious habit or you're here to look religious, it's not going to satisfy. That's why you walk out and live like you did, like you never came here. But if you can get past, and yes, do religious ceremonies happen here? Yes. That's why he picked the religious pots. But in the spot where the religious pots were, he filled with water. Why is church so important? Yeah, there may be a lot of religion and tradition going on in these services, but I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit is present here too. And when you understand, you're not coming to who's preaching. You're not coming to who's singing. You're not coming. You are coming to the well that will never run dry. You are coming to a place where the Holy Spirit will spring inside of you, a river of living water that will fulfill you and meet every want and every desire and every need that you have. When you come, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that when you come, that you can ask him for anything. Because when you get in, you've got it all. You can't put a cup. A lot of us like to walk. This is why we. A lot of us like to walk up and take the cup and dip it out. Well, I want you to tell you, you know, the fullest cup is the one you drop down in the pot. That cup's the fullest. Church, you cannot make it without church. I don't care who you are. And I'm telling you, if you've got a point of that, you keep coming and you keep getting a drink. And I'm telling you, you will eventually get full. Another place is worship. While you're in church, you're not engaged. You're sitting and you're watching and you're judging and you're looking around. When we do that, we're not engaging. When we're not engaged, you're not reaching. Now, I got to bring this point out. Well, the Bible says that when they filled the pot full of water, it says the servants came and they dipped the water out. Did you see that? I told you to underline it at the very beginning. Dip the water out. We think when they dipped the water out, it was wine. It wasn't. They filled it full of water and they took the water out. I want you to understand something. See, we come to church thinking we're going to get what we want. You're not going to get what you want. You're going to get what you need. And the Holy Spirit will fill you from the bottom of your head to the soles of your toes. And I want you to know, I got it. You may not walk out of here with a pocket full of money, but you will walk out of here with a life full of the Holy Spirit. And when you walk out of here with a life full of the Holy Spirit, look what happens. The Bible says, while they took that cup from that pot full of water, and they took it over and gave it to the master of the feast, says when he put it in his mouth, it became wine. I want you to know something. If you're leaving here not full of water, when you get where you're going, you're not going to have what you need. You must. It is a life source that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, the easiest place for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit is in the presence of God. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in His name. Are you a church advocate? Absolutely, I'm a church advocate. You say, well, you just make your money from church. I made more money selling houses this year than I made from the church. I'm telling you this. It's not my source of money. The church is my source of my life, and I must have a drink. I must get the water. And if I'm not in the presence of the Holy Spirit, I am not going to be full. I'm here to tell you this. You need something, you get full of the Holy Spirit. When you get where you need something, it'll be there, because the Holy Spirit is a river of living water that will take it wherever you need to be. The Bible says they received power when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. This is what you got to see. And it's not going to be the same the way it's always been. You say, Cricket, I've heard this all the time. It's been this way for 20. I've been going to church 20 years. And now I want to tell you something. Did you see what happened? When the master of the feast tasted it, this is what he says. He says, why did you save the best for last? Why didn't it start off this good? Want you to know something? Every time you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get bigger. Every time you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get sweeter. Every time you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get stronger. Every time you get filled with the Holy Spirit, your life gets better. And the Bible says this, that God is always in the workings to make your tomorrow better than your today. But if you're walking around this world empty and lacking of the Holy Spirit, God does not have the ability to fill your life and make it better. He said this, your latter will be greater than your former. I don't care if you're 80 years old. If you will fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, tomorrow will be better than any day you've had in the past. I don't care if you're 16 years old. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, tomorrow will be greater. You need a drink of the Holy Spirit, and it's available to you. So where do you get it? Number one, you're here. And my thing is this. Every time you miss a church service, you just missed a drink. Number two, where you get the power of the Holy Spirit is in your worship service. The Bible says God inhabits praise. Now look at this. The Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness. If you're empty, if you're frustrated, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're dehydrated, in His presence and in the praise. The Bible says God inhabits the praise of people. You should walk in this service not because you feel good, but because you're thirsty, you throw your hands in the air. Not because you're in the best of moods, it's because you're thirsty, you cry and you weep on the altar. If you get to a place where their tears can't fall in worship, you're dehydrated. So whatever it takes for you to do to get to a place where tears can fall in your face in worship and you truly move into worship, you need to do it, because it is the very thing that will bring life back into your life and life more abundantly that God has for you. And then thirdly, we got to close. There's another place, and this is the one we're going to be available to us today. Because there's some of you that came in here this morning empty, and you can't go another step. You're like my car sitting at that car line the other day. If you don't get full today, you won't have another chance. There's some of you that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was everything you could do to get yourself out of bed this morning. I want you to know something. the water's here. And that's what the Bible said. The Bible said if you're here still and you still feel empty, just for coming, you got some. But if you're saying, Cricket, that's not enough, I need more. And you've already praised and you're still empty and that's not enough. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, it says this. And it says, and when they laid their hands on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, Cricket, I don't understand this. Me neither. I'm just so thankful I got it. I don't understand how two gases can come together and make a liquid, but every time I take a drink of water, it is H2O. I have no idea how that happens, but it happens, and it meets my needs. I'm telling you, I have no idea how it happens in these altars, but I can tell you this. You don't got to understand it to take a drink. All you got to do is be willing to do what the Lord's telling you to do right now. There's some people in here right now that say, Cricket, I hadn't even invited Jesus to my party, but you know the Holy Spirit right now is telling you, today is your day. You need to get things right with God. I need you to get up out of your seat right now and come forward to get things right with God. Now, this is what they say. Humans have 5 seconds of hesitation before they talk themselves out of it. If you're not right with God, get up before I count to five, or you will talk yourself out of it and you will miss out on what God has for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you're not right with God, get up here right now. God has a drink for you. Number two, if you're here this morning and you say, Cricket, I am empty and I did not get enough. I need some fulfillment in my life. The Bible says when they laid their hands on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were filled with power. The Bible says that the spirit of joy has joy. If you need a drink and you're desperate to a point where you can't go another step without a drink and without being full, you need to come up here this morning. Our prayer leaders are going to lay their hands on you. And I don't know how it happens. I'm not that smart. I don't understand it all. But I am so thankful that I have it. If you need a drink from the Holy Spirit this morning, you need to get up here before I count to five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give every single one of these guys that are thirsty a big hand clap. Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning. God, I thank you for these lives that have realized that they need you desperately today. And God, your word says that you'll never turn anyone away. Father God, I pray if you're here up here to receive and invite Jesus to the party, simply say these prayers with me. I say, Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for everything that I've done that would have kept you from being in my life. I know you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. And right now I ask you to move inside of me, bring your spirit inside of me, and cause everything in my life that was broken to be healed. Cause everything in my life that was wrong to begin to be right. Save me, God. Come into my life and change me in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now look at me. I'm not going to let you get out of here because I'm going to make sure you get full all the way. All right? If you just prayed that prayer, you just got him in the party. What he's about to do, he's about to turn your water into wine. I tell you go to a good party, there's always some kind of alcohol somewhere. The Bible says wise people don't have to go to the alcohol. What they do is they go to the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is about to fill you in every way.